Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, our producer, Scott Eckersley, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in, as we do each week at this time, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com, the Master of Assessments. Hello, John.
Well, my goodness, you guys are having a great show today. I'm glad to be part of the team. Very good.
You say that every time, John. Do you really, are you being sincere when you say that?
Can I tell you, every week seems to be better.
Oh, so yes, I am sincere. John, we talked about the 1,000 days. Our friend Sam, the Answer Man, is here. And instead of Ann of 1,000 days, he suggested it's Ann Arbor of 1,000 days. And it's actually 1,000 days and 19 hours now, Tom.
I realize that. And I see in the Detroit Free Press, they're calling this curse the curse of little brother Michael Hart. So actually, this whole thing started when Bo died, you know, as far as the defense went down. You know, when you think about the day before the Michigan Ohio State game 2006, they quit playing defense when Bo died. Think about it. And that's been the core of it, and including these losses, you know, what's happened with the Michigan State series.
Well, you know, in yesterday's Ann Arbor paper that I got in Ann Arbor, it was interesting because the writer for them was commenting the two big games for Rodriguez were Connecticut and Michigan State. These were games that they really had to win. I mean, those are just what he picked out.
Those were two very good ones. You got to beat Michigan State this year. You have to beat Michigan. Let me tell you something, though, from a Michigan State perspective, John, your viewpoint on this when I'm done with it here in a second. Is this. How will you feel about this Michigan-Michigan State series? Michigan beats Michigan State. You're coming off a losing season, okay? Where do you look at your program if that happens? Or are your expectations so low that it doesn't matter?
You mean if Michigan were to lose this game?
No, if Michigan State loses to Michigan.
Tom, Mark D'Antonio has won 22 games the last three seasons. That's the best start for any Michigan State coach.
So your expectations are so low. That's why.
Well, you know, reality. We're talking about since 1898.
They had a losing season last year.
I'd be the first to tell
Jack.
You that Michigan State and Michigan have not had parallel histories. And 6-7 is not
that.
A season that anyone is satisfied with. But 6-7, 5-7,
3-9,
none of those are.
Now you lose to Michigan this year, and you think you got the edge on the Wolverines. How would that make you feel, John?
I wouldn't like it, and I'd be as defiant as ever. You know, I think that Michigan State fans, when they lose, they're defiant. They don't just give up on the sport. So
I think that game's a toss-up.
I wouldn't like that at all. But on the other hand, I'll then look to next year. You know, I can't worry about what happened yesterday. I kind of glory in things I like and don't let things I don't like bother me. That's a basic psychological principle.
I just love it, John, to hear Michigan fans say, you know, I have to beat Michigan State. Before, Michigan State
was
so irrelevant.
I've said that all along.
That's because you have a thing about Michigan State. But for most Michigan fans, it was not their biggest worry.
I think a team that you beat a good share of the time, you don't worry about. It's like most things. When you really start losing, it becomes really, you know, more painful. Like right now, if I can go back to that article, I'm not just trying to take an article I'm reading randomly, but didn't even really mention Ohio State. I think, you know, Michigan fans are kind of accepting. They may not accept they're going to lose that game, but they don't really see that as a win that they can really have next year. So I think that their sights have been lowered, and you can say, Tom, Michigan State sights are lowered, but if you see Michigan looking at the Connecticut and Michigan State game, those may be big games this year, but traditionally, when you had Lloyd Carr and Bo Schembechler there, those weren't the games they were really worried about when the season would start. So I think expectations have changed there. I think at Michigan State, expectations are higher this year. But you are right. Michigan State fans are happy with 7, 8, 9 wins, where Michigan fans are not, even though last year was obviously a horrible year for Michigan fans. So it'll be interesting to see expectations and how this plays out this year. It's going to be fascinating, and I really can't wait. How does that sound?
Yeah, I can't wait either, John. And let me tell you something. There's going to be a big variable on October 9th, is what happened from a Michigan perspective. What happens prior to that game?
Because last year they were 4-0. Well, what do you want?
Okay, yeah, I'm talking about the 1-8 as far as that crowd reaction. Because if this season starts to go into a tailspin prior to that Michigan State game, I think Sparty's going to take over that stadium because I think Michigan's – let me tell you – let me finish this thought. Michigan is going to check out – Michigan fans are going to check out emotionally, and they're going to say in their mind, you know what? It's better we just start losing, get
Michigan
rid of this
fans
guy.
Fans aren't like that. Look at the way they fill Chrysler –
You know, they're going to say – they're going to check out. And so it's what happens those – you know, prior to October 9th is really going to dictate.
So Michigan State has to really root for UConn and Notre Dame.
Yeah, because their fans will check out in that game. They'll start selling tickets. It'll be like Chrysler Arena 2000 all over again.
John, did you know that last year was the first time that Michigan had a pair of coaches go two full school years without beating Michigan State in football or basketball?
I did know that from, you know, I think on CBS last year. It was kind of a big thing made, and I'm reading about it again in the paper. That is a long time for that to happen. In basketball, maybe not so much, but in football, this is, it's quite an event. And if you're a Michigan person, it has to really take a wound and rub it even more raw. So I think there's a lot of incentive for Michigan to win that game. Now, a kind of another psychological factor, what impact does it have having far less State of Michigan players on your team in terms of how they see that game? That's another intriguing thing that gets pretty
I got to make a point here. Okay, and this is where my crazy memory comes into play here, how sick I am. But I can remember, Jack, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, 1988, 1989, okay, Michigan beat Michigan in football, which they usually did, and they also swept them in basketball, correct?
88-89.
They're both correct. Okay. Was there any article in the paper? Same thing in 93-94.
No, because
it's no big deal, is it?
It was dog bites man.
So this is a storyline. This is a storyline.
Never happened before.
Michigan State finally has these 1,000 days on Michigan.
First time it's ever happened.
Yeah, so it's a big deal.
But I'm just saying, Toledo's winning streak. It's never happened before against Michigan.
Well, that's because Michigan never ignited. It was never a big deal before. Now it is. Now it is.
John, let me tell you what I think the best part of this is. And it doesn't have anything to do with the scores, although Michigan State has never scored as many points in two straight games against Michigan as it has the past 2 years. Tom, I told you this before. This is a thing that has infuriated Michigan State fans for years. It isn't the fact that Michigan's good. I always respect the fact that Michigan football has been as good as any program in the country. It's the holier-than-thou attitude. And now that
big,
is gone.
Big generalization
that's
that
gone.
You're making.
Okay. You can say that. But I think that for a lot of people around the Big Ten, that's the perception. It may not be the reality.
Why do
but
you
that's
think that, Jack? You're up
because
in the
I've gone to the Big Ten basketball tournament and I've seen every fan base boo when Michigan's
I'm talking
singers
about your
come on
experiences.
And sing the fight. They don't do that to Ohio State. You don't do that to Penn State.
Listen to me. You're up in that press box. What exposure have you had to arrogance? Be honest with me. Michigan arrogance.
I'm around it every day, Tom. I'm around you.
I'm not arrogant. I'm the antithesis of arrogance.
Well, you expect superiority. You think right now with this crappy defense that couldn't stop a strong breeze that you should be 9-3. The worst defense in Michigan history, you lose your two best players, and suddenly you're packing for the Rose Bowl.
John, your thoughts?
I must love. Golly, that's great banter, guys. You guys need to put that on as a prelude to the program. Tom, I do feel, though, that you are kind of shocked and amazed when Michigan falls like this. I mean, I think no one really expected it. It was kind of like the fall of Rome to Michigan fans, and I didn't go back no further than 30 years. But I do feel that a lot of people do enjoy watching the fall of Michigan, and I do feel that, rightly or wrongly, Michigan fans and a lot of people, they believe if you didn't go there, you couldn't go there. It doesn't matter. You weren't allowed in. It's kind of like that anyone would want to go there, and if they don't, they're not up to a Michigan standard. And that's kind of, I think that is a view they have. And I've seen that when I go to Ohio State games. It's the same thing. If you were to go to an Ohio State-Michigan game in an Ohio State outfit, which you never would, Tom, and you talk to the Ohio State fans, they look upon Michigan people, students, call it what you will, they look at it as the same stereotype that Michigan State has, that they think they're better, call it whatever you want. Now, that may not be true, but I feel it is a belief that people have.
Well, I think Ohio State fans perceive Michigan fans as wine and cheese, you know, kind of, intellectual types. Michigan fans basically view Ohio State, and this is an accurate statement, as white trash. I mean, that's just the difference between the two.
Well, Tom, you couldn't have said it any better. And I do think of Fritz Kreisler as the model of the University of Michigan. I mean, I see a tweed cap. I see even a pipe. I didn't even say he would do these things. And if you go into the Union at the University of Michigan, it's like you're in 1900.
It is.
You've got all those floors that are all waxed.
Did you know when my mother was in school in 1938, they had to go in the side doors, the women, because it was the men could only go in the front door.
Well, I mean, it's an old, old tradition. If you go down to IU, you're at Michigan State, you're at Iowa, you don't get that feeling. This is like 1900.
That's what's beautiful about it.
Well, it is beautiful.
Tom's still living in 1900.
It's a whole other world. You go to that law quad, you walk in there.
There you go, baby.
You know, Tom, you talk about different standards, different expectations. You know, the only two coaches in Michigan Agricultural College, Michigan State College, Michigan State University history to win two of their first three games against the Wolverines. Only two have done that, to start 2-1. That shows, number one, how great Michigan has been. Number two, it shows where Michigan State has been in relation to Michigan. Give Michigan State fans
well,
their moment.
No, D'Antonio had the door wide open because Michigan fell down. That's why.
So did Tom Izzo. He'd be the first to tell you. Would he have gotten superiority in
right.
the state?
And he's been able to maintain it
the
last 14, 15 years.
You know, Michigan opened the door with the Ed Martin business, and then Izzo knocked the thing off the hinges.
Right.
Well, now the door is open just a crack, so there's a chance for
D'Antonio
parity. Don't you
better,
want parity?
No, hell no. D'Antonio, I don't want to screw parity, okay? D'Antonio better knock it down. Okay, because if he doesn't knock it down, it's going to swing back the other way.
I don't think Michigan's going to stay down forever.
Right now.
No, they aren't. No, they'll be back. And if Rich Rodriguez is not the answer, it'll be somebody else next year.
And if it, John, I'm telling you, just keep that couch open for Monday, October 11th, because Tom Crawford's going to need.
No, I'll probably need it before then. UConn's coming up.
Come into Crawford Indoor Stadium in order to the cathedral. To do
there
the work with him.
There
on
you
the
go. You make house calls. Will you give me a price break if I provide my own couch?
Of course.
Speaking of house calls and the big house, John, do you like my name for the expanded Michigan Stadium, the Stadium on Extends?
Okay, well, listen, I'll go along with that, Jack. How does that sound?
John, thanks so much for joining
us.
John. We will talk with you on Tuesday.
Always a pleasure, guys. Like I say, great show, great time.
We will be back, and we'll take your calls. 393
He says that every time. I don't know when to believe him or not. We ever had a bad show according to John Braccio? Never.
Absolutely not. He's a judge of talent. We'll be right back with more. Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.